Nation. After a brief hiatus, we started back on May 10, and we've been working really hard to stay safe and yet getting things back to normal in a timely and God-pleasing way. A couple of weeks ago, we started coming back to the rail for the Lord's Supper, and it's gone very, very well without incident. Just want to remind people that when you're done receiving the Lord's Supper, to return through the middle aisle. That way we won't get people bunched up on the side aisles. Return to your seat through the middle aisle, and the elders and ushers will be guiding you and directing you as well. We haven't needed ushers since March. And now that we are easing back to normal, we need ushers again. So if you would be willing to help out at either the 8 or the 10:30 or the Wednesday at 6:30 service, let one of the pastors, the church office, or the elders know, and we'll try to rebuild and reestablish that usher program here in the congregation as well. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn is 902, Lord Jesus Christ, Be Present Now. Lord Jesus Christ, Be Present Now. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings are on the back page. Special focus will be on the Old Testament reading from Proverbs 25. Brief outline of the service is on the edge of the page. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each day. We thank you this day for the gift of your word. Your word, Jesus, God in the flesh for us. Your word, the Holy Bible. Your word attached to bread and wine and water, the holy sacraments. And now, Lord, as you have filled us with the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that comes from this word, holy, pure, and true, fill us with words that are fitly spoken. Heavenly Father, grant it for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Hymn 902.
Thank you. Page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and of the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth peace to those who are men. We praise thee, we worship thee, we glory, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father,
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together our gradual as found in the bulletin. Blessed is
the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all are yours.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord. Confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191. Please be seated as we sing our hymn of the day, 696, O God, my faithful God, 696.
Oh,
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the Old Testament reading from Proverbs 25, especially these words. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Please pray with me, would you? Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Guard me lest idle speech may from my lips be falling. But when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak. Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions. And let me find good friends for counsel and correction. Help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might, to live in peace with all. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we turn to the book of Proverbs today. We don't go to the book of Proverbs very often. It's a very challenging book. A lot of different wisdom literature genre is all contained in the 31 chapters there. Some are like the pithy Proverbs that we're familiar with. Others is more general instruction with regard to being a wise person. Now, all of us are familiar with what a proverb is, right? We know all kinds of proverbs. We've been taught proverbs, certain ones, since we were tiny little children. Let's try a little exercise here. An apple a day keeps the... Oh, I guess you do know some proverbs. A stitch in time saves nine. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. A penny saved is a penny earned. All right, you know, we live with proverbs or proverbial wisdom all the time. And God's word for today teaches us a very important proverb. This section here in Proverbs 25, it's instruction for the Christian in proper etiquette. How you should conduct yourself around other people. But it's much more than that. It's much more than knowing what to do or not do so you don't get embarrassed. God's word for today, like always, teaches us about our Lord and Savior Jesus. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. I don't know about you, I don't have too many baskets of golden apples sitting around my house. Oh, I remember the hard plastic apples that sat in a bowl when I was a kid on the kitchen counter. Many people had them. They never got bad. They never got rotten. No fruit flies. What's God teaching us here? A word fitly spoken is like gold in a setting of silver. Gold in a setting of silver. Kind of makes you think of jewelry, doesn't it? It's precious. It's valuable. It sticks out. A word fitly spoken. This is what God is teaching us today. He's teaching his children wisdom versus foolishness is nothing more than a fancy way of saying faith versus unbelief. To be wise is to have faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To be foolish is to have no faith. Remember, there's another proverb. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. To be wise is to be forgiven. To be foolish is to be striving after forgiveness where it doesn't exist. God is teaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christians like you and me, what our lives should look like. What should characterize the life of a Christian? A word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. Now, if God encourages us to be people of a word fitly spoken, that implies that it is possible to have a word not fitly spoken. Are you with me? If there is ever a phrase that characterizes and summarizes society right here and right now, it is a word unfitly spoken. You know it. You know how easy it is to tear down instead of build up. We all know how easy it is to put the worst construction on things and explain things in the most unkind possible way, not only for strangers, but for our family and our friends, the people we are supposed to love. We are quick to criticize and slow to compliment. A word unfitly spoken. Is there anything that better describes social media than a word unfitly spoken? People say things on Facebook or Twitter, or whatever your venue is, that they would never, ever say to someone face-to-face. They get punched in the mouth if they did. So what do? Do we curb our unfit words? No. We create anonymous accounts so we can get at it more and more. We retweet or forward the most despicable stuff. We don't care if it's true or not. It's clever. It's funny. I'll get lots of likes or friends. A word unfitly spoken not only characterizes social media, it characterizes pretty much every aspect of life. I don't know about you. Last Tuesday night, I turned on the television. There was a little thing called a debate on. Did you watch? According to one report, it was the third most watched television event in the history of television. I think I could safely say there were lots of words unfitly spoken. It was a national disgrace. And then I took a pause. And as I thought about that Tuesday night debacle for the whole world to see, I thought, we get the leaders that we deserve. And it's a reflection of us. Because we are not a people who really care about a word fitly spoken. We don't demand that of our family and our friends, our church leaders, our political leaders. My friends, a word fitly spoken is perhaps the farthest thing from our hearts, our minds, our family, our congregation, our neighborhood, our city, our country, our politics, our economics, our science, you name it. So what do? Pull ourselves up by the bootstraps? Buy a 12-step book to help us on the path to recovery? Make a firm decision in our heart or a New Year's resolution? Vote the right way? My friends, God's Word today teaches us that a word fitly spoken should not only characterize who we are as Christians, but that word fitly spoken, God's word fitly spoken, molds and shapes and forms the child of God from the inside out. What does God expect of us? Well, in our gospel reading for today, and at the beginning of our section from Proverbs 25, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Have a little etiquette here, right? Rather than sit in the place of honor, sit in the lowest place. Why? God is not telling us this just to spare us from moments of embarrassment. God is teaching us the importance of humility. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. We are full of pride because we are full of ourselves. We are full of pride because we think that the world revolves around me, myself, and I. To humble oneself means to swallow your pride. It means to think of other people more highly than yourself. It means not to discriminate, but to think of big and small, rich and poor, black and white, all the same. To humble ourselves before the Word of God in faith toward God and in love toward one another. I grew up in the 60s. The society taught you, permeated, that you needed to be a person of pride if you were going to succeed in the world. A certain pride and arrogance and braggadocio was encouraged in every aspect of life. I can still remember Muhammad Ali being interviewed by Howard Cosell. And Howard Cosell asked the heavyweight champion of the world about the criticism that he'd been receiving because he was such a braggart. Muhammad Ali said, "It ain't bragging if you can back it up." My friends, if you need to back it up, it's not humility. Our text goes on. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. My friends, we live, it's hard for me to say this word, we live in a litigious society. People want to sue everybody over everything. God's word, Proverbs, says, not only is a word fitly spoken a word of humility, but a word fitly spoken is not a word that is quick to take your neighbor to court or to accuse in that way. Now you may think, Pastor, come on. How often does this happen? In the 23 and a half years that I've been here, I could give you hundreds of examples, hundreds. Oh, a handful where somebody got mad at the church and was going to sue. You know what I'm talking about? Husband versus wife, wife versus husband, parent versus child, neighbor versus neighbor, brother versus brother. Somebody gets mad, so they want to sue. The first words that come out of their mouth, you know, I'm going to call my lawyer. God's word calls us, Christians, calls us to reconcile. That is a word fitly spoken, a word of reconciliation. Why is it so hard to say, I'm sorry? I'll tell you why. The old Adam or the old Eve inside of you does not want to reconcile. It wants hatred. It wants division. God's word teaches us that a word fitly spoken is a word of reconciliation. My friends, if you don't want to reconcile, you may not be a Christian, because someone who stubbornly refuses the reconciliation that Christ has given cannot be a Christian. A word fitly spoken is a word that is not only quick to say, I'm sorry, but even quicker to say, I forgive you. True reconciliation that flows from the cross and empty tomb. We're not quite done. A word fitly spoken after that beautiful proverbial statement, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. You know, I really struggled with that. In Nebraska, a blast of snow during harvest is about the last thing that you could possibly want. The word picture here is a messenger that sees the harvesters in the heat of the harvest, in the exhaustion that is there, and travels to the mountains and brings back a container of snow so that they can be refreshed with the snow and the cool water that it provides. My friends, a faithful messenger does not tell you what you want to hear. A faithful messenger speaks the truth. The truth about sin and the truth about a Savior from sin. A faithful messenger will never say, you know, it really doesn't matter what you do. You just go be you and I'll be me. No. A faithful messenger knows and communicates that there is an objective right and wrong, and that the law always accuses, and that God in his love and mercy is a God who is a God full of steadfast love, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Not one message or the other, but both. And anyone else, anyone who brings a message that is not that message from the one true God of law and gospel, sin and grace, forgiveness and life in Jesus and Jesus alone, is like a cloud that promises refreshing rain but can't deliver. So, Proverbs 25 teaches us, the children of God, how to live. So, go do all this stuff and be happy. Be satisfied. Be fulfilled. Just go do it. My friends, our sin paralyzes us. Our sin has corrupted our mouths, our tongues, our hearts, our minds. We strive after unfit words, even though we know it's wrong. Like watching a train wreck, but we can't take our eyes off of it. My friends, there's only one answer. And you know the answer. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the word fitly spoken. The eternal word. The word of God. The eternal logos. The word that takes on flesh and blood and enters into our sin-filled world. The word fitly spoken is Jesus, who places himself under the law that crushes and condemns us, but carries our burden, our sin, all the way to Golgotha. The word fitly spoken is Jesus, naked, suspended between heaven and earth, shouting out, "Go get them. You know what they did to me, Father. Pay them back." Of course not. Instead, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You want to try something? When somebody talks about some egregious thing on social media, try quoting that Bible passage. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what's going to happen? You're going to get banned. You're going to get unfriended. You're going to get reported. You Jesus freak, you. There is a way. There is a way to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world as Christians living in this day and this age. And that is to speak a word fitly spoken. Jesus is the picture of true humility, humbling himself to be born of a woman, humbling himself even to death on a cross. Jesus teaches us what true humility is. Jesus teaches us what reconciliation is. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile the world unto himself. Not only did Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he spoke the word fitly spoken. With his last breath, he shouted out, "Tetelestai." We translate that, "It is finished. It is complete. It is accomplished. Your sins are forgiven through the perfect life, bloody death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ." The word fitly spoken, forgiveness, life, and salvation is for you in the waters of holy baptism as you are wrapped in the robe of righteousness. A word fitly spoken is placed on your tongue as that word is connected to bread and wine, the very body and blood of Jesus. The faithful messenger that brings you the cool refreshment of the gospel is the proclamation of that gospel right here and right now to the four corners of the earth. My friends, for all of the times we have relished in our pride and bitterness, for all of the times we have torn down instead of build up, for all of the times we've hung on to grudges and bitterness rather than reconcile, for all of the times we've been so full of our own pride that we didn't even notice our sin. For all these sins and more, Jesus, the word fitly spoken, speaks to you right now. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our ears, our words, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess how God changes hearts, minds, tongues, ears. He gives us a new one. Please stand as we sing the offertory.
Oh,
In addition to the prayer request listed in the news and notes, we have one additional prayer request, a prayer for Lynette Gibson, Wayne Gudgel's sister, who has been diagnosed with cancer this past week. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for all of your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of life that is to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and holy sacraments. Make them perfect in love and in all good works, and establish in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your wisdom and grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. Be with all the missionaries our congregation supports. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we can lead peaceful lives with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially our president and congressmen and women, our governor and legislators, our mayor and city council, and to all of those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all people. Lord, in your mercy, sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in their baptismal grace and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and throughout all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let your blessing remain upon the harvest season, the commerce, the industry, the leisure and rest, and the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection all those whose work is difficult and dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them the just rewards for their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or adversity, especially Lynette, Barb, Jared, Adeline, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, Daryl, Mildred, Jim, Lynn, Mark, Char, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near, and bring comfort to those who mourn and feel sorrow, including the family of Ruth Deer and the mother of Kathy, and the family of Kathy Steinhauser, both who passed away recently. Grant them peace and comfort in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
God's service to us continues on page 194 with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is he that rises unto you.
It is
is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Bless we the Lord.
The
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Be seated for our closing hymn.
Some on the way out. A lot of activities are gearing up and ramping up more and more here in the congregation. We talked last week about the grant money available for members of Good Shepherd that are sending their kids to parochial school. Those application forms are on the table. This afternoon at 2:30 is the Life Chain, the Lutherans for Life Life Chain, and the details are in the news and notes. If you'd like to peacefully protest, Good Shepherd will be on O Street at about, I don't know, 42nd or 43rd. The details are in the news and notes, and it is a great way to show that we are people that actually believe what the Word of God says and believe in the sanctity of human life, because God has made it and created it. At our last voters meeting here at Good Shepherd, due to the pandemic and people being afraid to leave the house and all that kind of stuff, we asked the current members of our lay leadership that their terms were expiring at the end of July if they would serve for an additional 90 days, and they all said yes, and we're at the end of that 90 days now. We're going to need a short voters meeting. We're planning on having that 2 weeks from today between services. We're not anticipating anything very long, like 5 minutes or less. But we need to give proper notice of that. We have people to fill every position on the church council, save one. And that is in the area of human care. We have a lot of human care stuff going on. We just need to have someone that would represent those different things at the church council. So if that's something that would interest you, let us know. Let one of the pastors know. Let Chairman Mark Huff know. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what that entails. Bible study tonight, right?
Yes, we'll have our college Bible study at the Nebraska District boardroom office, which is in Seward. If you go onto the parking lot, it's the downstairs entrance right inside the door to the right. So plan on that, 7 o'clock. Also then, next Sunday, during the Bible study hour, we'll have a short altar guild meeting. One of the unsung heroes of the pandemic here has been the altar guild, because we've changed things on them a lot. and how we do things, and every few weeks we've updated it. So we're going to have a short meeting just to kind of get things back towards more normal. So that'll be next Sunday during the Bible study hour.
Okay. I think that's all. Have a great, we'll dismiss from the back to the front. If you want to stand around and visit, that's great. Do it outside. Otherwise, respect everybody's space and distance and all that kind of stuff. Have a great day and week and life. Did you want to say something? Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on over here. Come on, Vicar. Blessings as God blesses us with a word fitly spoken.